to do with your body. You got to ask God what you can do with your body. You need to know that you've been bought, you've been purchased by him. And even though this Pentecost is free will, it's reminding them that they've been purchased. They've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, that they've been bought to be servants of God. I wish I had somebody. And so he said the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the problem here with most of us, a lot of times when we get so religious, we spend more time thinking about the tongues than we think about the presence of God that gives us the tongues. I wish I had somebody. So many times we want to fight about tongues and fight about who can and who can't, why and when we ought to do it. But the main thing is we need to focus on the God on the inside that gives us the utterance. We need to know that God is the one that gives the utterance. God is the one that makes it happen. And so who am I to fight with what God has? Oh, come on and say, man, what God does in my life. And so I need to spend more time focusing on being filled with God than it is fighting with people. I need to spend more time thinking about being filled with God than struggling and trying to figure out how I'm going to make it through my problems. Because if I'm filled with God, then God would help me through my problems. He'll help me to deal with people. That even if the people are difficult, don't you know that God made them too? And if
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Anybody here in the house know that it's all God. Amen, 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 amen. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the Lord. It's all good, it's all good, it's all good. If I were anybody, just anybody, but because I'm not, I'm a child of the Most High God. I know it's all God. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this time of hearing your word. Tune our hearts, our ears, and our minds to what you have to say. Give us liberty in the word, freedom in the spirit, to hear beyond just the written words. Let the Holy Ghost meet us and minister to us through the text, revealing principles that we might practice for profit and giving you all praise. We thank you for each and every person that shall hear this word today. Move and minister upon the altars of their hearts. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. Amen. I'm calling your attention to Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. I spoke from the 6th and 7th verse, and then the 10th and the 11th verse, but I shared with you these two verses kept crying out, "Say something about me." And I can't finish this portion of that until I say a little something about these two verses. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, "Think about it again." Think about it again. God deals with Isaiah, and he introduces the idea of grace in the first few verses of the 55th chapter. He talks about buying without cash and infers either credit or neither credit. And how can you buy without cash or credit? He introduces the idea of grace as a gift. And many of us today have been blessed to have received gift certificates or gift cards and were able to shop without spending our cash or our credit. And so one of the things that he's offering to the people of God is the understanding that there are just some things they'll never attain, they'll never reach, or they'll never have if he didn't give it to them as a gift. His grace is more than sufficient for every need we have in our lives. And yet there are not only the believers or the people of God who sometimes miss this reality, but certainly the world who misses this reality. And every now and then we think through the sharpness of our minds, the education of our minds, the cunningness, our street smarts, that we can outthink God. We think that we got it all figured out. We think we've got it all worked out. And yet we don't understand that there is nothing new under the heavens. There is nothing that is something that was anything without God. And so you can't outthink him. You can't figure him out. And so if you understand that, then it will cause you to rethink a whole lot of things that we presently do. When you back up to the 6th verse, you would think again when he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Because what it says is you need to think about God while he is near. Think about him while he is able to be found, while he is present to engage in personal relationship. And it's important for you to understand that if you don't think about it now, there's coming a time when the invitation will be withdrawn. Then he says, call upon him while he's near. You better think about it again, thinking that you can wait to call him when it's comfortable and when it's convenient and when things get to be the way you want them to be. I've got news for you. You need to call him now, because God expects us to move in the ever-present now rather than later. Tomorrow, next week, later is not promised to us. And so we need to think it over again. And then he talks about the wicked man forsaking his way. You need to think it over. A whole lot of us think that we can do what we want to do without any repercussions. Think that we can act any way we want to act. And just because God hadn't done anything yet doesn't mean that he hadn't scheduled anything. But he's patient enough to give you an opportunity to turn around, to ask him for forgiveness, so that in your repentance, he is able to have mercy upon you. And you need to think again, the wicked man who thinks wicked thoughts. Forsake those wicked thoughts, because here's what you need to understand. If the thought doesn't emanate from the Word of God and from the purity of God's Spirit, then God is not under warrant to bless or back up those thoughts. And what is wicked is anything. I'm not just talking about immoral. I'm not just talking about that's profane. Wicked is anything that doesn't originate from God. See, the enemy, look at what the Word says. There is a way that seemeth right, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So you need to think it over again. Your way does not please God outside and disconnected from God. And then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Well, what is he talking about now? He's making a divine declaration. He's declaring, listen, that he has eternal excellence in his thoughts and in his way. That's why Malachi records that he says, I am the Lord. I change not. Well, why do you need the change when you're perfect? Well, why do you need the change when there is no error in you? Why do you need the change when you cannot improve upon perfection? Why do you need the change when your mind knows all of the facts, and when you've made a consideration, it is considering everything that needs to be considered before you make the consideration, so therefore you don't have to consider it again. And so because of that, you've got to understand God is like none other. And here, one of the things people miss about God is God has thought everything there is to think through. He has thought it through. You can't come to God with no new thoughts. That's better than his thoughts. You might have a new idea, but every new idea you got is old to God. It wasn't perfect for God, so he didn't use it. And so don't think that just because it's a different time or dispensation, now is a better time to do this thing that you think is better. Because God has already thought of it and dismissed it as being insufficient and not holy or righteous enough for God. So his divine declaration says this: his thoughts are eternally excellent. When you think about that, eternally excellent. That means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not going to be any changing, because it can't improve any better. And so he says, neither are your ways my ways. And God has examined our erroneous ways and said they don't look like me. They don't contain the purity and the holiness of me. They are set in flesh and appetites of the flesh and earthy, and they are carnal. And it is because of these things that we need to think it over again. God wants us to understand. Listen, my brothers and sisters, how many times have you done things that just didn't work out right? But instead of thinking them over, you did it over and it still didn't work out again. And there is a saying, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. But I think before you try again, you ought to think it over. Because if it didn't work the first time, chances are it won't work the same way, the same time, or a different way if you're doing it the same way the next time. And so there are some things that we've got to understand about our thinking that God wants us to see. The Word of God is the revealed written word or mind of God. In other words, we've got God's mindset. How do you think like God? Read His Word. Study His Word. Get to know what He says about everything He has said something about. And then you don't have to pray, Lord, if it be Thy will. Because you read in the Word what His will is. And so when you pray about His will, you say, Lord, I'm praying according to Your will. You said, if I do such and so, that You would do such and so. So, Lord, according to Your will, according to Your word, according to Your way, I'm expecting You to back it up. God said, put me in remembrance of My word. You want to impress God? Impress God with some stuff He said. God gets excited about His own word. When you start remembering God's word, when you start digesting God's word, when you start repeating God's word, God realizes that you desire His mindset in you. Listen, proper content produces proper character. Proper character produces proper consequences. You can't have proper consequences unless you got proper character. And you can't have proper character unless you have proper content. And you can't have proper content unless you get it from the Word. David said, I was born in sin. It ain't had nothing to do with your mom and daddy being married. You were born in sin. How is that so, David? When Adam sinned and fell from that high and lofty place God elevated him from in creation, he then passed on death-carrying, polluted blood to all mankind. As a result of passing on death-carrying, polluted blood to all mankind, therefore, when a man has a child, the bloodline comes from the man, not the woman. So when the paternity test is done, they don't take the blood of the mother, because the blood of the mother isn't in the veins of the child. They get the daddy's blood. And they say with 99.99% accuracy, oh, you him. But there's another reason why we must understand this process. When God wanted to send Jesus down in human flesh, Joseph could not be His earthly father because Joseph had death-carrying, polluted blood in his veins. So what God had to do was tell the Holy Ghost, overshadow Mary and cause her to conceive, so that thing that would be born in her would be born a holy thing, not with the blood of man. So it was the pure blood of God, if you will, because God is perfect. And so because Jesus had no death-carrying, polluted blood in His vein, Jesus was the only one who could pay the price for mankind. And therefore, you can't make it to God without Jesus. You need to think it over again. You can't be all you want to be without Jesus. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. So now the divine declaration is that my thoughts are not your thought, neither are your ways my ways. But then notice what he goes on and he deals with. He deals with dramatic differences. Verse 9 reveals the dramatic differences. Look at what he says. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen now. Look at the dramatic difference. God says, let me try and help you think this over. I'm God. I've created you. You're my creation. Now, don't think that you can think with me. For I'm God all by myself. And let me help you understand something. If you want to try and conceptualize the difference in our thought abilities and processes, he says, for as the heavens, be it first, second, or third heaven, he says, they're higher, listen, than the earth. Yeah. Now, he deals with two things that are furthest apart from each other. Look at this dramatic difference now. Earth is here and the heavens are there. Now, he says, then the heavens, because it again gives us to note that there are multiple levels of heaven. I was flying and the captain came on the PA system and he addressed us who were enjoying the flight, and he said, we are cruising at 30,000 feet. It's a beautiful day. If you look to your right, you'll see the beautiful mountains of so-and-so, and if you look to your left, you'll see this, that, and the other. And in looking at that, as we flew at 30,000 feet, I noticed that cars and trucks look like ants and water bugs, and great big skyscrapers look like Lego toy sets. At 30,000 feet, everything that used to look big looked small. At 30,000 feet, we flew above the clouds, and the clouds were suspended like cotton balls sitting on nothing. And when I looked at that and I thought about that, I was like, my God, how wonderful and how major the difference is from heaven to earth. But what further blew my mind is when I started researching, and I converted 30,000 feet into miles, and it was 5.68 miles. So only after five and a little past half miles do things look minuscule. Then I begin to think about it, because he said, as high as the heavens are than the earth. Higher, for the heavens are higher than the earth. He says, listen, what heavens? Well, he keeps on going. Look at the sun. The sun is 93 million miles from earth. Now, if 5.68 miles, when you look down, and see how small and minuscule men look on earth from 5.68 miles, what do you think they look like at 93 million miles? All right. And I continued my research because my mind kept on flowing on this thought. For higher, 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 as the heavens are higher than the earth, I got to thinking, well, what is the furthest planet from earth?
Come on.
And the furthest planet from earth is Neptune. And Neptune is 4.4 billion light miles. And I say, I know what billion is, but what's light miles? How do you translate light miles into miles? And my further investigation said that 4.4 billion light miles equaled more than 27 trillion miles. Y'all sitting here like y'all knew that already. 27 trillion miles, and that's the furthest planet. But listen at this, that ain't nowhere near where God lives. That's just the furthest planet from Earth. And when you think about how high his thoughts are over your thoughts, you need to think it over. You can't get over on God. God knows your thoughts before you even think it. He knows what you're even thinking about, thinking about thinking. And you are challenged with all that is in you to even come close, which has no resemblance to God's thinking. One, because our thoughts are tainted. They're not pure. They're not holy. They're not righteous. And so our thought processes can only process the content of our minds. And because of what's in our minds naturally, they can never be the true, pure, and unadulterated thoughts of God. But not only are our thoughts tainted, but our ways are wicked.
Amen.
Listen, again, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He is conceit. He is vain in his own conceit. He's wise in his own conceit. In other words, the devil make you think you got it right. Ever come across folk who think they're always right and nobody is ever right? They're the smartest people in the world. They're the only ones who got it right. They're the only ones who know it. And the problem with that is they have fooled themselves. And so when I begin to think about these things, our ways are wicked. Our thoughts are tainted. But the last reason is the most relevant of all, because God has exponential elevation over us and our thoughts and our ways. He's so high above us that there is nothing in man's being and makeup outside of God himself that could ever be pure enough, holy enough, right enough to stand in God's presence. And that's why God sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the sacrifice for our sins, to go our way, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And when we trust God, believe God, lean on God, depend on God, God will make everything all right. Give God a hand of praise.
Bless the Lord.
The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, the Lord wants you to think it over. Your thoughts are not my thoughts.